All right, guys, welcome. I'm Dan Fernandez, and we are here talking about some cool stuff, Web Matrix, with Simon and Scott. Why don't you guys quickly introduce yourselves?
So I'm Simon Cowlett. I'm a lead program manager on the ASP.NET team.
Okay.
And I'm Scott Hunter, and I'm a lead program manager on the ASP.NET team. Mm-hmm.
All right, and we're talking about this Web Matrix thing. So what would you say it does? What's it for? Who's it for? What's the details?
So Web Matrix is a lightweight tool, very small set of technologies, tool, server, database, and a programming framework. So the idea of it is to provide a really simple on-ramp for new developers into ASP.NET, as well as what we call VAPs, which is really if you're a small shop building a website for your local hotel, you want to use something like an open source system, you can download WordPress or .NET Newt, you can customize it within the tool, and also publish these apps up onto a hoster.
Okay, so those are like people customizing, you know, sort of, there's an existing open source project and they're the customizers. Now for beginners, like, how is this different? Is this different than ASP.NET? Is this a new thing? Are you all reinventing the wheel? Is this thing, tell us kind of where this fits into existing technologies. We have ASP.NET, ASP.NET MVC, and how does this kind of fit in? And how does Web Matrix fit in with Visual Studio?
Kind of think of it this way. If you're, let's say you're a web developer at a company and you want to start adding some programming elements to your page. I want to do some interactivity on my page. Today, Microsoft's solution is go download Visual Studio, install this big tool, and suddenly you're hit with all these toolbars and menus and stuff like that, and that's kind of an overwhelming experience.
Mm-hmm.
We're kind of going after As Simon said, I want to ramp on really, really lightly with a small tool. And so in our case, all you would do is rename one of your files to CSHTML.
Okay.
And then suddenly you can add some programming to it. We don't require you to have like web config that ASP.NET has. So basically you can take an empty folder, just rename one of the files to CSHTML, and start adding some programming to your site. You can use Web Matrix, the tool, which is a very simple tool. You could even use Notepad or Expression Web.
Okay, but this is really geared, like, primary target is, like you said, beginners and maybe some of those people that are taking existing apps and customizing them.
Yeah, so for the beginner, think of an HTML page. Very simple, very easy to use.
And a lot of people know how to do HTML and JavaScript
today.
Yeah,
exactly. And then I can just add some very simple inline scripting to it, some very simple code. And with Web Matrix and what we're adding into ASP.NET, you can obviously build up your application very simply. Now, there is a story that means you can migrate up into more sophisticated things in ASP.NET, like web forms or MVC. So there's a very, very, very nice, smooth continuum story.
So you're not doing a one or the other. It's, you know, you could start here, and then that application will actually move and work with web forms or MVC.
Exactly. The idea would be that, you know, I start with web pages with Razor syntax, and then at some point, when I decide my project gets bigger.
What is this Razor syntax? You just dropped a cool name on me. Now, is this a code name? Is this this official?
It's going to be the official name, I believe.
Okay.
So,
okay.
But it is kind of the code name for the new syntax that we have.
And I guess it's a play on Occam's Razor, the absolute simplest thing to do web pages. Were you not involved with the marketing geniuses that put this one together? They just gave you a name?
This particular case, the Razor name actually came out of the product unit. So in our case, we actually had a wiki inside of the dev team where we just threw a bunch of crazy names in there like CodeFlow, PageFlow, Razor, and at the end of the day, it just stuck with just be something simple.
Oh, nice. Okay, cool. So back to Razor pages. We're doing stuff in line of HTML. So this conjures to me, and obviously this is my first area of web programming was classic ASP. Is this kind of like classic ASP, or what's kind of the model there?
It is very similar to classic ASP in that it's all inline scripting, or inline coding, I should say, not scripting, because it's C sharp or VB. It's not JavaScript.
Okay.
Very similar, but you actually still will have the full power of the .NET framework. So one of the things we tried to do was let you do a lot of stuff inside of this without having to know object-oriented programming. So we don't. You'll typically see when you build a page, you're not newing up objects and all that kind of stuff. You can do a lot of stuff just writing a line of code like it looks like procedural code. But at some point, if you want, the whole power of the .NET framework's there. So it's like we're going to give you a lot of things to make your application very simple to write. We're going to give you what we call helpers. These are things like I want to add Twitter, I want to add send email, I want to do image manipulation. These are all first-class citizens in web pages with Razor syntax that don't require renewing up objects and all that kind of stuff. So we're trying to do all that stuff very simply, so you don't have to dig into the framework, but then, of course, the whole framework's there as you grow up. And as Simon said, our plan is to say, hey, my site gets bigger, I'm consuming more and more of .NET. At some point, maybe I want to go grab one of the bigger frameworks like WebForms or MVC, and you can smoothly move up, and all the concepts you learned will be available in those areas as well.
Yeah, okay. So Razor will be a view in MVC.
Okay. Okay, actually, people are probably familiar that you have, I guess, replaceable view engines or extensible view engine. This is a view engine, if you will?
It will be, in the case of MVC, it will be a view engine. So what we plan on doing is, around the same time that we release Web Matrix, we'll have an update to MVC that will take this new syntax and make it available in MVC as well.
And this is all running on .NET Framework, right? Like, this isn't
correct.
Some new animal, like, you know, people that have web hosters today that are supporting, say, .NET 3.5. Is there anything that you need to do to get hoster support for this?
That's a great point, because it's based on .NET 4. So we do require the hoster to be on .NET 4, but everything we do has been deployable. So my hoster does not have to install web pages with Razor syntax on their site or on their servers. You can actually just copy it up into bin and have a fully working website. That goes even further. One of the other pieces of Web Matrix is going to be SQL Compact 4, and that's a in-proc database that you can use for smaller sites.
Mm-hmm.
That has also been deployable as well. So you can basically take that bin deployed up to the hoster, and that will run on your website in Medium Trust as well. So you could basically build an entire application with web pages with Razor syntax using SQL Compact 4 and just X-copy the entire thing up to a hoster, and it will just run.
Awesome.
And now the sales pitch. All within Web Matrix.
Yeah, and it includes the web server. It includes, you mentioned all the different parts of the web stack. So IDE.
Yep.
Is what we're going to show
Very
in a second.
Simple tool.
That's called Web Matrix.
Very simple tool.
What other parts are in there? Because, you know, Scott, when this post at least released, we have now officially at least announced IIS Express. Is that part of this? Mm-hmm. Is that a different animal? Kind of, what are the other parts that everybody gets for free?
So a web server, IIS Dev Express, a database, SQL Server Compact.
Okay.
This Razor syntax for web pages, and then the tool on top. So not only are we describing this, say, for the newbie developer or the just get it done fast kind of programmer.
Right.
There's also the download an OSS app developer. And really, three of those pieces, if you took the tool away, three of those pieces will also be light-up pieces that come along with Visual Studio SB1.
Yeah, because, you know, for the people that are using Visual Studio that maybe want to do RAD, you know, hey, we just need, our customer needs a very, very simple way to just upload an image. You know, like, they really don't need to do that much work and all the infrastructure. This is something that they can use in Visual Studio for their application to throw in a CSHTML page to do that one feature.
Yeah, as Simon said, when Visual Studio 2010 SP1 comes out, all this will light up inside of Visual Studio as well. So you'll be able to do the new MVC inside of Visual Studio with Razor syntax, and you'll be able to drop CSHTML files and VBHTML files in a website as well and get full support in VS.
So new capabilities in VS.
Now, the other thing, and this is, you know, I mentioned classic ASP, PHP developers. Is this something, like, how do you all look at the PHP? Because this, I'm sure, is similar in some of the things that PHP has in terms of easy to use, HTML, inline script. How do you all kind of look at PHP developers? Is this something PHP developers are going to be interested in?
I would think potentially. I mean, I don't think that's our goal. Our goal is not to say, let's go convert PHP developers to web pages with Razor syntax.
Mm-hmm.
Our real goal is to go and reach an audience. I don't mind. I would like to have those people come over as well.
Sure.
But our real goal is to go look at people that don't consider us as an option today.
Okay.
You know, let's say, as I said, I am this developer. I'm building a website, and I've got Dreamweaver or some tools, and suddenly I want to do some programmability. Right now, you know, we want you to go download a couple hundred megs of stuff, have admin rights, install this stuff in your box.
Yeah.
My goal is to have a small tool that's got a 2 or 3 minute install, quickly gets on your box, and you're off and running like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
And so I think that's going to, you know, and go after those new audiences. So if I'm learning how to program, I hope we market this thing as if you're out there and you want to learn how to start programming the web, this is the small basic of Visual Studio. This is how to get started really easy and get you on the framework. So our hope is to go get new audience on the framework.
Yeah, and it's actually a really good point. You know, previous life I was doing stuff in Express, and even there, like the learning curve is just so hard. Like you need to know about object-oriented programming. What are these events? What's an object sender? You know, what is this generic type that I'm getting back? And just limiting that to doing the, hey, you can start from scratch in a weekend and have something built.
Exactly.
And that's why this stuff sounds interesting.
And I think when you look at, if you start looking at code comparisons and stuff, our stuff actually looks simpler than PHP.
Ooh, so it is on.
Challenge.
Yeah. We shall convert.
Yeah, so it could be definitely interesting to them. You know, if you don't have a strong affinity, I'd say it's definitely worth an option to as one of the choices.
And we have shown it to people. We have shown it to PHP developers.
Yeah, we
and
run
it was well received.
Okay, excellent. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things you mentioned, small basic, is this like a dev labs? Is this something like that's gonna be supported, or is this more like an experiment? Like, you know, Visual Studio does experiments on blah blah blah. Or is this like, hey, this is kind of like the future of our web stack? And I ask this because sometimes a lot of people will be maybe timid to dip their toe in something that could be gone in 3 months, that kind of thing. Is now I'm asking you, obviously, of course we're going to have jobs in 3 months, but
we plan to support this for at least 23 years.
Yeah, is there kind of a sense that, like, hey, this is a really important area in terms of beginner, we want to make sure to,
I think it's a hugely
important area.
Highly important area. If you look at where ASP.NET lives today, we like to liken it to there's like different stages of developers, and we think that most of our stuff are in what we call the pro dev area.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the upper echelons of the pro dev area. We don't have an offering for these entry level developers.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's why I think it's super important. I mean, when I first started, you know, using Microsoft technologies, I actually was using classic ASP.
Yeah.
So I actually on-ramped on something very similar to this myself. Would I have on-ramped?
Wasn't it easy?
It was easy.
Wonderful? Yeah.
Remember, you didn't have to have a tool at all. Basically, if you had IIS on a box, you just loaded Notepad up and edited a file.
We had Interdev, right?
Oh, there were some serious issues with Interdev controls, but we're not going to get into
that. Obviously, I wasn't going to go with the Interdev area.
Yeah.
Did you work on Interdev?
I did. No, as in the tool? No, I used it.
Okay. Because this would have been really awkward.
But when I started doing classic ASP, though, I just started with Notepad.
I can feel the arrows landing right
now. Yeah, I did, I think it was one of the Notepad Plus or one of the tools to get some colorization.
Yeah, I had basic colorization. In fact, I think I used Interdev only for colorization. I didn't use all those code generators.
Why are you pointing at me now when you say Interdev?
I'm not one of these
people. I'm not worried about it.
You were here longer. You've been here longer than I have.
Not that long.
How long have you guys been here?
It's 12 years.
12 years, okay, mm-hmm. Wow. So yeah, you've probably seen all of ASP evolve from ASP to ASP.NET.
Uh-huh. Yep. Yeah, I was on the team since 2000, 2001.
Yeah, where .NET started launching, right? So yeah.
I've been around for 3 years, so I started right around the .NET 3.5 time frame.
Okay.
So I've been around for 3.5, 4.0, and MVC.
Don't show them the stock chart, which is the...
It was already on that slide before I got here.
Okay, so let's get into demos, because this is what people really care about. So what are we looking at right now?
This is the launch page of WebMatrix. If you first start the application, you're going to land here.
Okay.
You've got a couple of choices, and we can show both areas. One is site from Web Gallery. This is if I want to go and grab one of those apps that Simon was talking about before. So I'll click on that, and this is a gallery of all of these existing applications that are out there. And if you click on one of these, what we'll basically do is we'll go and find out what the requirements are for the particular application, and offer to install all the requirements for that application on your box.
Now, web developers, or at least our existing developers, are probably familiar with Web Platform Installer, and that did a lot of this stuff. Is this the same?
This is using Web Platform Installer behind the scenes to do this work.
It's the same app gallery that's online.
Okay.
It really is the same thing.
Collect
one of the apps from there. It's an integration with App Gallery.
The difference now is you're actually in a development tool right as you start the application, so you can go browse the files, you can go look at the database, you can run reports.
Sure.
So it's giving you a more round experience and just going out and grabbing and sticking the application in your box.
Now, one thing, is there a way to see different kinds of sites to be able to filter in that gallery for, say, Razor sites? So, for example, somebody that wants to use sites, or I'm going to add this feature in a feature request, and you guys can reject it later, but to be able to see the apps that are Razor samples, or Razor, you know, the Razor CMS, the
I'm
Razor
sure at some
blog.
Point we might add a category for that. So, obviously, right now, with us not having any sites out there using our syntax.
but there are starter templates that we'll show you as the second,
I will show those as well.
Second scenario.
That would be great.
So in this particular scenario, I can actually show choosing Umbraco, which is a CMS package. And it's going to go out and grab that for me. and then it's going to walk me through the steps required to run this. Let me just, so I don't blow my demo up, let me make sure I don't have the Umbraco database already.
Okay. And for Umbraco, we're using SQL Server Express?
I'm using Server Express.
Okay.
So the steps Scott's doing here are obviously not something that the developer would ordinarily do when they're downloading it.
Yeah, these I'm doing it just because I've done this demo before and I want to make sure that I don't mess anything up. So I'll just put in a few.
That is a great essay password, let me tell you.
Thank you very much. So right now it's going to go and start installing the application on my box.
Okay. User role essay does not exist in this database. Cannot use the special principle. So at this point...
At this point, we'll actually start... We'll try one more time.
Beta products.
Beta products. So, and while you're doing this, where can people kind of download this stuff? And where you see kind of the home base for, you know, Razor syntax samples and where the community can get involved? Because, you know, you all had mentioned wanting community involvement. We see the web gallery. Where's kind of the home base, if you will?
So at beta launch, we'll certainly have landing pages off of Microsoft.com web. Mm-hmm. There will be landing pages on www.asp.net. Mm-hmm. We'll also have materials on learnias.net.
Okay.
So as far as the Razor syntax style samples and a book or chapter series that we have that demonstrates how to go through the learning experience, you'll see those on www.asp.net.
Okay.
A lot of these app gallery style things will currently hang off probably learnias.net.
Okay.
But this is all beta stuff, right? Things may shift around.
And talk about that book a little, just in terms of people getting started. You know, they'll watch the rest of this video, and I know you're set up. But what's what is you mentioned a book, so...
Yeah, we just really have a series of tutorials that will hang off ASP.NET, mm-hmm. and I think there are 15 chapters. We basically start with no knowledge, what is HTML, just get you into some basic programming, and then walk through each of the steps, such as adding data, or working with files, or even a series based on the helpers that we're going to be showing some of the helpers, all the way through to basically you've got an up and going application.
Okay, cool. So it's like this is how to build your first
app. Yeah, think of the Learn ASP.NET in, what is it these days, 21 hours or something now?
Yeah, yeah, 21
yeah. 21 days.
I love those titles. There's like 36 hours.
That's
okay.
Right.
So we've got the app installed, so I'll just run it real quick, and that'll take us to the remainder of the app. The app actually has its own...
Online config.
Yeah, kind of installation experience here. And this, I believe, is where I need to do this step. There we go.
Permission settings are perfect. You can tell a developer wrote that message. Or actually, probably a marketer. I'm not sure.
By design.
So you can see it was fairly simple for me to go and get all the stuff required to run Umbraco, get it installed, and now I can run the application. And I don't care about that, so I could just, at this point, launch the application. And you'll see we've got a running application here. So I'm going to jump back to the tool and point out a couple things in the tool. So first off, from the main page here, you can see that I have the ability to browse the files, manage my database, or run some reports. So I'll jump into the files and just show that we actually have the files here.
So this is, you know, source code for Umbraco.
Yes, it is. So I could come in if I wanted to, do some styling changes. You know, I want to point out the tool is doing things like, you can see it's doing colorization. Mm-hmm. We hope to have IntelliSense and stuff like that in the future.
Okay, yeah, you gotta have IntelliSense.
Gotta
How
have
about
IntelliSense.
A designer experience? So we're seeing a master page, you know, people that are, say, familiar with Visual Studio having a designer experience. I don't
think a designer experience is part of our goal. I think the main thing would be basically this, the workflow we expect people to do is modify HTML, preview in browser. Modify HTML, preview in browser. Versus going to some...
That very iterative approach.
Iterative approach. Once again, if you're thinking about simplicity. If you look here when I run, I can actually choose the browsers that are installed on my machine. So I can easily run it in any browser I want, or I can actually say open in all browsers. So if I'm trying to look to see if the pages look the same in all the particular browsers.
Okay.
I also wanted to point out that we do have a database tab here, and I do have the ability to drill in and look at the various tables. I could create a database as well if I'm building a new ASP Web Pages application.
So interesting part here, Scott's obviously showing you a SQL Express database here. Mm-hmm. So there's obviously SQL Server Compact.
Yeah.
And if this were WordPress that we downloaded, then I'd be able to browse through MySQL DB here as well.
Oh, excellent. Very cool.
So pretty much anything we pull down from the gallery, you know, you'll be able to edit inside of this experience.
But I think I think a typical experience here is obviously I download the app. I don't think typically these OSS app developers are going to be popping into code primarily.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of these apps you can really configure through the app experience itself.
Right, exactly. But, like you saw in Braco, you know, here's the settings to turn modules on, if you will.
But the tool, I think, does give additional smarts in the workflow experiences that these developers or designers will be going through.
Mm-hmm.
So
I can point out things like we have the ability to run reports. So
now, what is this using the SEO tools that we publish?
It sure is.
Publish?
It's using the SEO tools that we publish kind of out of band. They're built into this particular tool. So when I run this, what it'll do is go analyze my site, follow through links. It'll find broken images, broken links.
Oh, awesome.
It'll go look at some SEO type things, seeing if you have descriptions on your pages,
right.
Seeing how many H1 tags, stuff like that. I'll actually run it against this. In this particular case, because I'm not authenticated, I'm only going to really see one page, basically the login page. But you can see the login page is missing a description. If I click that, it'll actually drill in and give you a reason on why you should
why it's
make
important.
These changes.
Yeah, sure.
And then you can click to edit the page directly. So it'll leap you leap you to the line number as well if you're at.
Okay.
If you actually got some content there.
Minor detail.
So the final thing we can show in here is we have the ability to look at requests as well. And so this is kind of from a debug experience. You can kind of see what's being hit. I have the ability to filter to show errors, ignore images. So obviously, if I'm looking at what pages are being hit, I don't want to see all the image links and stuff like that. And I can turn on whether or not I'm capturing or not. So it can be kind of a tool to see what's being hit as you browse through the application.
And so this is very familiar with for people that are use like the Firebug network tab. Is that a
fair
Fiddler,
comparison? That kind of thing. Right?
Yeah, Fiddler. So think of this for .NET developers.
It's really the server side piece of it.
Okay.
So basically looking at request response.
Very cool.
The final part of this that we ought to show is I have a publish button here as well.
Okay.
And if I click publish, first off, I have a couple choices. Maybe I don't have a hoster today.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a link here that'll go out and help you find a hoster. So easily find a hoster that can support your application. I can go back and show we offer a couple of different types of deployment. We support FTP, FTP over SSL, and web deploy. And we have the ability to crank your database up there as well. So you'll notice there's a database tab here. And so I can select whether I want my database to go or not. So publishing is pretty simple. Just fill in your stuff.
And what about, and I'm putting you on the spot here, but say we had database, this was our second change and we needed to make database changes. Maybe we've done some local things to populate something. Is there a way to do like updates?
We don't have a migration story right now. So, our story today would be, once your database is live, you should edit the live database using the tool versus editing the local database.
And can you connect using that that database tool that you mentioned before to a remote database?
I don't know if we can connect to a remote database or not. I would have to ask.
Okay.
Darn, he asked us a question we can't answer.
Yes.
Darn it.
Yes. I was going to start asking you, U.S. presidents, but thank God we got to that one.
So we've talked about publishing. We've talked about being able to run in multiple browsers. We've shown I can view my requests. I can look at the files. I can look at the database, and I can run reports. So we've kind of shown the gloss over the major feature areas of Web Matrix. Probably the next thing we'd want to show is web pages with Razor syntax.
So let's get into this crazy world of Razor syntax.
So what I'll do is I'll say Actually, I'm just going to close the application. So what I like to do here is I've got a blank directory here. Because one of the things I like to show is, you know, if you're familiar with ASP.NET, you've probably seen configuration files and some of the starter stuff that's required to get an app going.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to point out empty folder. I can right-click on the empty folder and say I want to open it up as a website in WebMatrix.
Oh, excellent.
And so now all I've got to do is say I want to add a new file. And we'll select a CSHTML file.
Ooh, stop. Okay, so let's see. You all have Peach. Now, for this stuff, actually, maybe we'll wait until we get into the editor, but you all support PHP as well as the CSHTML and the VBHTML is what you call the Razor syntax.
Right.
Or that's the file type for right. Razor syntax. Okay, cool.
And you'll note ASPX is there, both C# and VB and PHP. Once again, you might, you know, if you go grab one of these applications off the gallery, mm-hmm. you should be able to create files for the types of stuff that we're gonna support off the gallery.
Right, and like the WordPress example.
Exactly. And sure. if I'm running WordPress, then I might want to add a PHP file to WordPress, for example.
Okay.
So, I'll select CSHTML. And one of the things I want to point out is one of our goals is to be very HTML5 friendly, so you'll note that my doc type is actually an HTML5 doc type.
Ooh.
So we really want to support all the new standards as we go forward. That doc type's pretty cool because it actually works backwards in all the other browsers. And we'll do a little bit of Razor syntax here.
So this is a new operator here, right? At?
Yeah. So
lets you know that it's code?
So if you're familiar with ASP.NET today, what you would probably expect to see is something like this. My caps key keeps hitting me. Where I basically have the angle bracket percent, then I've got my code inside, and I close the angle bracket percent.
Mm-hmm.
You'll find as you start writing pages, you end up opening and closing and opening and closing a whole bunch.
Right.
And so one of the things you'll see from the new syntax is basically after the at sign, we look for either a C# or a VB based on the type of file you have. You're basically in code mode. So as soon as I do the at, I can then start calling framework functions. So in this case, I'm calling date time now.
And I'm going to get geeky, but it knows to terminate because of the bracket symbol. Like, it doesn't look at the word body.
It's going to run the one statement here. So
if you stuck some HTML after .now.
Yeah, it just automatically knows.
So.
You're blowing my mind. So, okay.
I can do some really scary stuff, too, where it's smart enough not to...
Ooh.
It
I'm so easily impressed.
it didn't try to run Microsoft.com as a keyword. So it does note things that we made it aware of things like email addresses.
Okay,
so,
cool. Very cool.
It won't get you into a bad state like that. You know, one of the things that you see right off when you start running PHP typically is PHP's got this command called PHP info that you use to go find out, like, you know, is your server set up, and we have something very similar to that. I can call server info get HTML, and I'll get a bunch of information on the state of my server. You know, what version of the database do I have installed? What version of web pages is installed, et cetera, stuff that you could use to debug your system a little bit.
Okay, now server info. Is this an intrinsic object? Is this a helper? And how would people even know to sort of discover that server info is something? Like, you know, maybe looking in the docs, or a lot of people do investigation via IntelliSense, but how would people know and what is server info, really?
So when we launch, server info is actually what we call a helper.
Okay.
So it's basically a library of functions that we think are around common tasks. As I said before, server health might be a common task. Sending an email might be a common task. Doing image manipulation could be a common task. Maybe putting Twitter widget on your page could be a common task. What we've done is, first off, when this goes live, we're going to have a new website or some new content on the website, which will have kind of chapters of a book to walk you through using this.
Okay.
One of the things that we have is we actually have a one-page API reference. So the idea is, could we build one page of information that contained most of the stuff you needed to actually start building pages? And so we try to condense everything into one page of, like, common infrastructure and then one page on helpers. And so basically, just with two pages of printed docs, you could actually do a lot of the stuff we can do. And
I'm giggling only because of the, you know, the 3 gigabyte install on MSDN help, so I don't know.
This is just HTML stuff, so
it's not that big.
But let's show some more examples of the syntax, because this is some very basic stuff. So let's
now, and underneath the covers, that content helper is a .NET class, like that dot method. Like there's nothing different or unique. If you want to build a content helper, you'd just be writing VB or
C#.
It's all C#. So
right.
What you would do in the case of web pages, you would basically write a class, put it in app code, and you would just call it from the page.
Okay.
That's no different than this. We just have a library of these things that we include by default.
Okay.
So in this case, what I'm going to do is I'm going to do like a UL, and then we'll do an @. And now, you know, you can see from the coloration. And this is where this stuff gets pretty cool.
And this syntax, again, is just regular plain old C#
plain old
syntax?
C#. Mm-hmm. Yep, after the @,
okay.
Plain old C#. Now, what gets cool here is in the middle of my C#, I'm going to start typing HTML elements.
Now, can you start typing?
I just typed an LI.
Now, can we start typing I again?
And now, I'm going to show an I.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And now I'm going to close the LI. And so what we do is after a brace, we'll go look and see if we find a tag that has an in tag. Mm-hmm. And if so, we'll assume that's markup that you want to actually admit to the page, and we'll automatically flip back into what you call HTML mode or whatever, and we'll take that information, send it right out to the browser, and then when we see an @ again, we go back into code. That's how I was able to show the I in
the context switch is kind of the...
Yes.
This is cool.
So if I run this...
You're so easily pleased, aren't you, Dan?
I know, I really am. We just spit out numbers. This is
so you can see I got a UL, the LIs, and this is where the new syntax really starts getting a lot cleaner, because in the old syntax, as soon as I got to the brace here, I'd have to switch out of code, go back into HTML, then do another open close brace to write the I.
Right.
And so we're not continually flipping in and out. That's why our syntax in a lot of ways looks cleaner than PHP as well, because PHP's syntax is very similar to classic ASP or ASP.NET today, mm-hmm. where you're always opening and closing around code.
Right,
and the fact that we can actually pick up HTML in the middle of code blocks really simplifies the way you write this stuff.
Yeah, we should just do a separate interview on how the hell you guys managed to do that, because I think that's a pretty interesting one just in the text parsing work you guys are doing there.
Mm-hmm. So let me close that down and open up some bigger demos, and we can show a couple other aspects of things. So when we talked earlier, I was talking about the fact that we're trying to make you not have to really think a lot about objects and stuff when you build this. So one of the most common things that you do in applications is access data. So what does data access look like?
You guys rewrote data access, right? I think that's the...
We didn't rewrite it. I mean, everything I'm going to show is based on ADO.NET and all the stuff in the framework.
Okay.
But if you're, let's say you're new to programming, our first experience today would either be load up the Unity Framework Designer and figure out what to do there, and then figure out how to write the code that calls that, or it would be use ADO.NET, which means I'm going to new up a connection, then I'm going to new up a command, then I'm going to new up a data reader, and utilize
all parens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's complicated.
Myself, yeah.
We went and looked at things like MySQL and PHP with MySQL, and it was MySQL under open. Mm-hmm. And so we tried to mimic something very similar to that here. So if you look, my code, I create a database. I just say database.open. And instead of having to deal with like connection strings and stuff like that, we still support connection strings, but I just say open and give it the name of my database. My database is living in my app data folder. So
okay, so I see you have a database there.
So I just say open database.
Now, how does it get the security stuff? Because normally you have a user ID and password and stuff like that. Is that just you happen to have the default credentials, or where's that? Is there magic under the covers?
Well, in this particular case, I'm running SQL Compact.
Okay.
So I'm running an in-proc database that's running inside of my process. So there really is no security like that, because I'm not talking to some other service or something on the box like that.
So, and I'm not super familiar with SQL Compact, but is there a way to restrict stuff? Say, for example, you want people to have read and only write, or it's all open?
That's not a goal of SQL Compact. SQL Compact is very similar to something like SQLite, where it's a database that can run inside of your process. So it's very small. So SQL Compact is basically a meg and a half. Mm-hmm. So it's very small, uses very little memory, but gives you a lot of the capabilities of SQL. So if you're building a small application and don't want to have to download a bigger server like SQL Express, that's what this is going after. And as I said, the big benefit here is I can deploy this.
This is hoster friendly. Yes.
It's hoster friendly.
Absolutely. Yes, and it's not the access.
I don't have to call the hoster and say, can I have permissions to do this, or do I have to pay more money? Hey, build your app, run your app up on the cloud.
Okay, cool.
So I run database.open. And
just right above that, layout page. So there you're talking about the master page.
Yeah.
Page data, that title.
That's how I pass a title to the master page. I'll show that in a second. Let me focus on data
here.
All right, we'll jump back to that. Once again, you'll note that I just have very simple HTML here. I've got a table.
Yeah,
with a
very
TR.
Clean. You see exactly where things are spitting out.
Then I do my for loop. And in this case, I just say for each row in db.query, and you'll note that we're using raw SQL here. Mm-hmm. So we went out and looked at what these entry-level developers do. They all start with, you know, when you're learning to program, you're probably not going to start with an ORM. You're going to start learning SQL first. Mm-hmm. And so this particular case, we went and embraced real SQL. You can use things like Entity Framework inside of web pages as well, if you have tooling like Visual Studio to help you with it. But you can do raw SQL without the tooling. So we're starting with raw SQL. There's plenty of examples you can find out there in tutorials on the web.
And for people that, you know, shun raw SQL, they could build a content helper that would just be a database wrapper.
Sure.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So in case they like, hey, we don't want you to have this because, you know, at some point in the future, this could be real. So therefore, use this wrapper and blah, blah, blah.
Exactly. So
you're not limiting them, is the point.
The whole framework is here. You can use as much of the framework as you want.
Okay.
We're trying to show you a very narrow scope to get you started with and not overwhelm you.
Right.
But it's all there still. So I do my for each, I get my row, and then I just put some TRs and some TDs and note that I don't have to switch back and forth between syntax.
Mm-hmm.
I do row.companyName, row.contactName, row.employCount. If I run this, there you go. I'm pulling data out of the database.
Awesome.
So, I mean, to me, that's pretty simple. One line to open the database, one line to query the database, and I just start emitting the variables on the page.
Very cool.
So you asked about the layout page.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first off, we think layout pages are a cool concept, but when you first start programming, you know, classic ESP, I did this. I used includes.
Yes, absolutely, for headers, footers.
Headers and footers and stuff
and maybe
like that.
Even like ads.
Yes.
Right?
So
right banners.
We want to make sure that was something we supported right out of the box as well. So you'll note here, I open this file up. I've got a regular page. I don't have any code at the top. And you'll see that in a few spots, I call render page under header CSHTML and render page under footer CSHTML. Mm. So I'm showing you basically how you can render another page in your application inside of this particular page. That's how I'm doing the header and the footer. And I want to point out something else here is you might ask, why do they start with underscore? So
why do they start with underscore?
God, I'm so glad you asked.
Can we answer that one? Or?
I think we can answer that one.
Trade secret.
We were looking at how to make files. Typically, I don't want a user to be able to request my header or request my footer. Mm-hmm. They're not things that I think that the user should ever be able to request. And instead of having some complicated security model or some folder where you like hid stuff, we just kind of do by convention saying anything that starts with an underscore is not requestable by the browser.
Oh, okay, interesting.
So by naming them that way, I could not request them from the browser, but I can use them in my pages.
Now, that's CSHTML and VBHTML, like if somebody had an underscore image or something like that. And it's only if it starts with an underscore, right?
That's correct.
Okay, cool.
And you can assume, you know, when MVC grabs this, the same convention will work in MVC as well.
Mm.
I'll just load one of those so you see what they look like. These are just basic files. There's my header. There's my footer. It's got a little bit of Razor syntax in here to actually show the current year, so my copyright is always current.
All right.
If I execute this page, you kind of get what you expect.
Right.
So the next question is, what if I wanted to do layout, like a master page kind of thing like we have in ASP.NET today?
Mm-hmm.
We have a very simple way of doing that as well. Let me close off a few of these guys. Here is a very simple page. It starts off with layout page equals underscore site layout. Layout page is the equivalent of master page, but it's a little bit simpler. And then I've got this page data title. You have to have some way of being able to pass data to that layout page. So, because I probably wanted to find the title of my page in this page. So page data is just a collection of data that you can pass to the page. If I go look at
is that something I can pass to any page, like page data, or is page data like the current running instance, or can I say page data?
Page data is only for this particular request.
Okay.
So it will not, like, Simon requests something, he won't.
Like, say I want to pass something into the header, or something into the footer.
Well,
how would I?
We actually, when I call that render page, I didn't show it in my example, but you can actually pass parameters to render page as well.
Okay.
So you can actually pass data to the subpages as you include them. So we have a mechanism for doing that.
Okay, cool.
So let's go look at the layout page. The layout page is actually very similar to the previous two includes, but you can see up here in the title element, that's where I use that page data that I passed in.
Okay.
I'm using this href. That's what allows us to take
what
the...
What is @href?
@href allows us to take the squiggly slash and resolve that for you. So in this particular case, because I'm in my layout page, potentially could be in a subfolder, how does it reference files that live in a higher up folder? And so this is just a mechanism for us to support the squiggly that you already have in ASP.NET today.
Okay.
So I've got a couple hrefs, and then I've got this call to render body. And render body takes any of the content of my page, that's where that content is going to be replaced, where the render body is in the layout page.
And how does it know @renderBody would say to throw in layout.cshtml? Because
so
we
what it does
included
is,
it as the...
Yeah, it's basically any markup is in my layout HTML.
Okay.
It's in my page, will get shoved into RenderBody when I call RenderBody.
Okay, so it's by convention, basically, anything in there. Okay.
But you can also have name sections as well, right?
Yeah, I didn't want to go into something more complicated, but we actually allow you to have more than one content
section.
You guys
don't think I can handle it? It's okay. I'm really...
He's a newbie.
I'm targeting the Breath developer. So,
yes.
But imagine you want to actually have your header section of your web page where you could have defined JavaScript. You could have a section named JavaScript in this page, and that content would automatically be put into the layout page in the JavaScript block.
Okay, cool.
But if I run this, you'll see it looks exactly like the include file. So this basically showing, you can get the same thing either way, either doing includes or doing layouts. And at this point, we can go and maybe show a couple of other areas we have here. So,
And while you're loading that up, are there other sort of like high level infrastructure things that you get, like maybe security, caching, sessions, cookies, like typical things that people were familiar with, either classic ASP or PHP? Or
we took all the classic ASP objects, server, request, response, session, those all exist in this as well.
Okay.
So the idea is, once again, as Simon was saying earlier, we want you to start here and be able to ramp up our frameworks. So if you got familiar with those objects here and then moved to MVC or moved to web forms, those same objects are there. So that was one of the goals. And of course, if you're coming from classic ASP, some of those intrinsic objects are already supported here, so you should feel comfortable that those things are there.
Right. Cool.
We could go look at what a form might look like with this syntax. So here's my HTML. I've got a form element that posts back to itself, and I've got a couple of fields. This is all just raw HTML. I want to point out that it's raw HTML.
Right.
No controls, no goofy stuff going on here. When the page runs, I've got a check here that says, is it a post?
So that's the page that is post back.
The page is posted back.
Okay.
And if it is, I go create a couple of variables, and I grab the company name, the contact name, the employee count. And then once again, because of this cool syntax, I put an element here, and then I start writing HTML right inside of my code block. So I say, here's a text element. You entered company name, contact name, employee count. Close that off, and then I close out my if. If I run that, you can see that once again, just showing how easy it is to transition in and out of these things. So at this point, I can show a couple of the helpers that we have. If you go to a web page, almost web pages contain some form of video today. So we want to make it very easy to do video.
Yeah. We'll change it to HTML5 later. It'll be fine.
We'll
do it in post. It'll be great.
So we support things like Flash, Windows Media Player, and Silverlight. And instead of you having to go out and find the script and stuff you would paste in the page, I just say at video.flash, at video.mediaplayer, at video.silverlight, give it the name of my file. We also support a bunch of extra parameters as well, but that simple. I'm running a bunch of video.
So the idea is make it easier for somebody that doesn't have to learn the bracket, object, embed tag for all these different things.
Exactly. Right? Once again, that's the whole idea about helpers, is let's go find things that people do on the web all the time and make them easier to do.
And think of the amount of code you used to write for creating a thumbnail.
Yeah, yeah. You know, so do you guys have something
stream,
for creating...
Manipulate the stream.
For image manipulation? Just to throw you on the...
So I'll show one of those. So first off, with images, you might want to be able to upload an image to your page and save it somewhere. So in this case, I've got a very simple page with an input type equal file, submit button, and then what I do is, on the post, I just say, give me an image from the request.
Is that a... Now, web image is a helper.
Web image is a helper.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
It's got all these manipulations. I'm not going to do anything... really with the image here, other than I create a file name, a random file name.
Using a GUID?
I create a path, and then I just save it to the particular path. But the point is, with one or two lines of code there, I was able to take an image and save it.
Easy.
So let's go look, and you know, the question you asked was how to do a thumbnail. In this particular case, I'm going to grab the image the same way from the upload. I've got the same file name stuff here. But then you'll note that I say photo resize 128, 128.
See, you guys are cheating.
And then photo save.
Oh, these content helpers, yeah. It's just...
And so, once again...
Declare.piece, right?
Two or three lines of code.
It's that easy.
That same image is now very small. And, of course, I saved the original as well, so there's the original.
Sweet.
Yeah, so you can imagine there could be hundreds and hundreds of these. So,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, we're considering whether we should create open source style projects around these or a community effort around building great libraries of these helpers.
Yeah, so yeah, and certainly...
could be pretty cool.
Certainly something that developers love, too, right? In terms of just the reuse.
Mm-hmm. I'll show one final image one, which is I want to add a watermark. I might have a photo site, and I want to make sure that somebody doesn't steal my photos, so I want to go stick either an image watermark or a text watermark. So I'll press add watermark, and just so we can see it, I'll zoom it up, and you can see we added this text to the image. This would require, you know, 50 lines of GDI plus code today.
No one wants to be doing GDI plus.
No. So that's kind of showing, you know, what we can do around images. Social networking is very popular today as well. So we actually have a couple social networking helpers. This is a Twitter one.
Okay.
In my page, I've got at twitter.profile, and I can go look and see what Scott Goo is tweeting about, or I could say at Twitter search and go see what World Cup information is going on, and we'll have to hope that there's nothing raw.
Yeah. I'm glad we weren't doing this last Saturday, otherwise I would have been...
You've never seen so many insults.
Oh, man, look.
So you can
something
see
about England again.
Oh,
we've got
geez.
Scott Goo up. And,
awkward.
I'll close that before anything bad comes up.
Gold line technology.
Yeah.
So that's how easy it is to do something like Twitter. Here's another helper we had around CAPTCHAs.
Okay.
So, you know, all of us have probably gone and signed up for a site somewhere and had those things where you enter the goofy text that you see on the page to make sure you're not, a spam or some kind of robot. And so we wanted to make that something you could do inside of our pages as well. So instead of reinventing the wheel, we went out and took reCAPTCHA and wrote a small helper around reCAPTCHA. So there's some boilerplate.
reCAPTCHA is the popular service used by WordPress.
By almost everybody. Today.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the most popular one. So
you didn't recreate the wheel. Impressive.
We don't want to recreate the wheel. So we there's some reCAPTCHA boilerplate code up here at the top. But in my form, somewhere I've got at reCAPTCHA get HTML. And in my post, I check to see if the reCAPTCHA is valid. If it is valid, I go to the welcome page.
Right, so, and that could be, add save comment on a blog or something.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
And you'll see with that, I get a caption on my page.
Awesome. Very cool.
I might have one more we can look at. Here's
the other thing I was going to ask you to do is throw an error So this does not have a debugger, right? So we are F5-ing. So what happens in a debugger, and what's kind of that experience, and how have you guys thought about like what happens when, you know, there's a line of code in that four that's out of range or
yeah. You were asking very earlier. You know, earlier you asked kind of about, you know, was there going to be a designer or something like that? And I was saying that we're thinking more of the iterative experience, where you would basically go write a page, try it in the browser, write a page, try it in the browser. The debugging experience is basically the same kind of thing. If I went here and took that I and changed it to an A in my markup,
yeah,
I would run the page, and I'd basically get an error telling me that the name A does not exist in the current context.
Okay.
And once again, it'd be the iterative experience. You know, I go and modify that. I do want to point out that, you know, as we've said earlier, we do have a grow-up store in Visual Studio, so, you know, if at some point you want to start using Visual Studio components, you'll note that there's even a button inside of Web Matrix to launch Visual Studio. So maybe that
interesting.
Is... We actually did an SDR with some PHP developers, and we found that even though these PHP developers actually had an IDE on their computer, Eclipse, most of them actually stayed out of Eclipse 99% of the time and developed more in something like this, and only went to the Eclipse scenario when they were dealing with a complex debugging scenario.
All right, so let's talk about that complex debugging scenario. Can now, if I click Visual Studio and for whatever reason I don't know that A, can I actually hit a breakpoint on a CSHTML file?
Once you're in Visual Studio, you get all the power of Visual Studio. So in our case, we're going to require SP1 to be installed before you can actually use this inside of Visual Studio. And our hope is to have some of that out right the same time frame we're out, or right before we're out, at least a patch or something that gets some of this functionality live with our ship day, in case we ship before SP1. But the idea would be, once you get into Visual Studio, you'll see full Visual Studio. You'll have IntelliSense, you'll have syntax highlighting, you'll have breakpoints. I mean, it's Visual Studio. It's exactly what you would expect.
And some things just in terms of mixing and matching. Is there any reason I couldn't say mix and match, you know, an MVC view with this, or, you know, just in terms of how am I going to handle doing includes versus master pages, or are there any sort of gotchas that people should know about in terms of the mixing and matching? Like, is session information going to be the same? Is there going to be a reset on the user login?
They're both built on the same core framework, so the same session we have is the same session that MVC has, is the same session that WebForms is.
Okay.
I mean, this is ASP.NET. I mean, the syntax is slightly different, it's a little simpler, but it's still core ASP.NET. So everything we're doing here, you know, the hope is you got a web form app, you drop a CSHTML file into it, sure, it works fine.
Okay, great.
You got an MVC application. In the case of an MVC application, we would ask you to add a Razor syntax view to your MVC application, which is through that next version of MVC I was telling you about, and it would just work.
There are some interesting things. I guess we've not shown it, that this has extensionless URLs.
Yeah.
And it has a model for trying to search for
So how would we, for example, do the kind of the friendlier routes? Is it all like I'm based on the product, the folder and file name?
There's a heuristic for the way that we determine
kind of the code name for what we have in web pages is something called Smarty Routes. And so the idea behind Smarty Routes is routes require configuration today.
Yeah.
You've got to go and say, here's all the rules that make routing work.
Yes.
And we don't want you to have to think about that. So what we, as Simon said, we have kind of have a heuristic where if I went to index, let's say, /1, that's a valid page as far as we're concerned. And what happened would be is that 1 would be a route parameter.
Okay. And so I would just be able to say request dot.
Well, basically what happened was,
or get information.
Apple or 1 in this case was not found as a page.
Then we fall back
up to the folder.
Apple, don't find Apple.
Back up.
We just back up, and then we make any things we didn't find available as route parameters.
Mm. Okay. Awesome. And that's just literally, I can just go into the page and say, pull up the
collection.
Yes, we have a collection.
We have a collection that will actually give you those route parameters, and you can just pull them off, use them however you want. So you get the power of routing without the configuration of routing.
Okay, and now if I wanted to, say, have Apple be, say, its own, maybe it's more like index/toys, and I wanted to have a toys page, for example. That way I just define a toys page as a subdirectory, or is it something I go in and do more of a add routes like you would in MVC?
You could do either way. So you could actually add a toys folder and have a index page in there. And so if you hit index/toys, it would pull that up. Or you don't even create that page, and use the routing to go pull the toys off the route.
Right,
and,
right.
And so you have either choice.
Okay, very cool. Cool. Other stuff that you guys want to... I know we've done a lot of demos. Anything we missed or other cool stuff?
I don't think we highlighted. Simon did say we do support extensionless routing by default. So, you know, you do note here when I'm running these pages, there is no .cshtml on the end of them.
Ah, nice, yes. So you get the friendlier names.
You get the friendlier names without the extensions right out of the box.
Nice.
Cool.
Very cool. All right, guys. Well, thanks again. And to download this and start playing with this, where's the...
So, again, once the beta comes out, we'll have a landing page off of Microsoft.com, WAC Web. There'll be pointers into the web matrix places to download.
Okay.
So that'll be in the main spot.
Awesome. All right, guys. Thanks again for your time. This is cool stuff.
Cool.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks.